Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Limitless with Nadia. Today, we have a guest with us by the name of Coco Beauty, who is an entrepreneur and the host of the Bougie Best Friend podcast. Coco, thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Nadia. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited, you guys. So Coco is really big on helping women really raise their standards and step into their confidence. So Coco, I'm really excited to ask you, what really got you into the journey of raising your confidence and raising your standards, and what made you want to get into the space to help other women with it?
Lovely. Okay. I used to be a makeup artist. That I was always obsessed with beauty. And when I was growing up, I was a hair model, and I saw how different makeup artists made me look different. So like somebody would make me look amazing. Somebody I thought like, oh, you're just showing everything I don't like about myself. So I saw the power of makeup. And I'm born and raised in Croatia. I moved to the US when I was 22 on my own. My whole family's back there. And I always wanted to pursue makeup and beauty and social media, but Croatia is a small country, so you can't really, you know, do that there. It's like growing up in a small town and you just have these big dreams and goals, but like, you know, moving to LA or New York or Miami is a little bit better for that. So I decided to move to the US, and I was just working with all these after a while. Obviously I was building my career, and then I had an agent, and they were connecting me with all these beautiful models and clients and whatever. But I saw that when you're working with a model, they're just getting their makeup done all the time, so they don't even care. But when you're working with quote unquote real people, when you do their makeup and when you can kind of exude their natural beauty and their confidence. And I'm never going to forget the first time I did makeup for this girl who was 16 for her like photos. I don't know what, she was like celebrating something with her friends, and she looked at herself in the mirror and she almost like started crying. So I always thought that was so special. And I was always posting beauty content, like your typical beauty blogger, makeup tutorials, whatever. But during the pandemic, obviously I was not posting that because it just felt out of touch. And at the end of the pandemic, I was flying to Miami back and forth because a lot of production companies were moving to Miami because New York was really shut down at that point. Yeah, I was living in New York for like 7-8 years. So I was flying back and forth, and then I moved to Miami. And I just, even though makeup moved me to Miami pretty much, I changed my content to what it is today pretty much because I just wanted to connect with people more. And I just wanted to talk about things that really touched my soul. And I feel like in the pandemic, we were all kind of like, what have I been doing with my life? What is the point of everything? So I wanted to start posting content that's going to help women to raise their standards. But I do think that when I was doing makeup, I was helping women feel beautiful on the outside, and now I'm trying to make them feel beautiful on the inside. So that's kind of long story short.
Oh, I love that. I think it's so important for women in particular to really connect with how they look and their appearance, and that really plays into the confidence. So it's so cool to hear how that kind of evolved for you in terms of being in makeup and now focusing more on the inner transformation. The other thing I want to ask you is, how do you define like true confidence?
I get this question asked a lot, and I think that confidence is just knowing that you can do whatever you want to do. You can be whoever you want to be. And I mean, I don't want to sound like a Hallmark card, but you really can create your dream life. And I feel like I created my dream life because when I was growing up in Croatia, I was always obsessed with America, and I always wanted to be here. And I was watching, you know, all these shows and Gossip Girl and this and that. And I was like, I'm going to do this. And I always had the confidence that I will do it. But other people were telling me, oh, like, you won't, obviously. And like, why do you have to do that? Like, why can't you just be grateful with what you have? I'm like, I am very grateful with what I have. And I love my family. And I had a beautiful, comfortable life back home. But I always knew I wanted more. And I was not afraid to ask for it. And I was not afraid to put myself in very uncomfortable situations, like living with 5 roommates, or, you know, like stuff that some people maybe wouldn't do. But I just knew that I have the power to change my life in whatever way I want.
Love that. So it's basically like the self-love to believe in yourself and your dreams and know that you are capable, just as anybody else is, of the infinite potential. Like, I can make anything happen for myself.
You said it better than I did.
Well, that was a beautiful explanation. But I also want to ask, like, follow up, I know a lot of your content is geared towards your experiences in your relationships. And so what has that looked like for you, and how does that lead into what you, how you create content today for women?
So my content with, it started when I moved to Miami. I started posting this TikTok series, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Moved to Miami. And I was just testing out the platform. I just had no idea. It was around 2 years ago. And I posted this video that blew up, where I was saying that I don't accept a coffee or a walk as a possible date option, neither should you. And it blew up, and everybody started calling me high maintenance. Like, all these media outlets were like, oh, look at this high maintenance influencer. So if you Google high maintenance influencer, my picture literally shows up. And I was like, duh, obviously I'm high maintenance. Like, look at my hair, look at my nails. Like, I take good care of myself. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of, but I was very surprised how people were reacting really negatively to that video, because I was like, coffee and walks are not real dates, in my opinion. But then I, so it was like a very polarizing situation. Like, some people were like, fuck no, I would never go on a coffee walk date. And some other people were like, that's the best type of date because there's no pressure, whatever. So I realized that there's a lot of dating, I don't want to say misconceptions, but a lot of dating questions that people, and I was always like a friend that gave really good advice. At least that's what people tell me. And my mm-hmm. friends would always come to me for that no sugarcoating approach. And I just started posting these dating videos, and I saw that a lot of girls need a lot of help. And I remember when I was in my, you know, early 20s, I was just doing things that I wish somebody told me they're not worthy. I think I'm creating content for that version of me that was the needed this type of content 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of girls that are like in their 20s, some women that are even, you know, older than me going through a divorce or something like that.
I think it's important to highlight that it doesn't matter what age you're at. This is always mm-hmm. an area of your life that you can learn more about and improve in. And I know I, like, personally, I struggled a lot with codependency. That was something that I really needed to heal from when I had a really big heartbreak. And is that something that you feel like you struggled with at all? Like, in your relationship troubles, the version of you that you're talking about, the before, mm-hmm. what were her struggles? What was she dealing with? Was it codependency? Was it low standards? Like, what was the issue?
I think I just wanted to believe in those like Disney romances, and like I was idealizing the relationship when it was not ideal, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to see the good things, but the bad things were so much larger. And I, and also something I always say in my content as well, that you shouldn't really trust your friends when it comes to dating advice, because if you guys are in the same age range, if you're in the same group, if like you're pretty much living a similar life. Because I remember back then when I was talking to my friends, and this was like when I was, I don't know, 25, 6, 7, I don't remember, but I was talking to my friends and complaining about this relationship that I had, and they were all saying how, you know, it's you should be lucky, there's worse men out there. Like, it's not a big deal. But I think that people also, when they do know your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, they see them and they see the way they treat them, and they don't see what's going on behind closed doors. They don't see the way they talk to you. They don't see the emotional, you know, I don't want to say abuse, but like if you are
toxicity.
If the relationship is getting toxic and you're trying to talk to your friends and they're telling you, you know, there's worse men out there. Yeah, it's not really great. It's not really great advice.
Yeah, question it for sure. That's so important. And going back to what you were mentioning earlier, that video of yours that went viral about like, no, I would never go on a walk or a coffee date as a first date. Why for you is that something that you would not be into?
So in the video, I also said like, I'm not a dog that needs to be walked. And I have an espresso machine at home. It works fabulous. We're not doing drinks either. You're going to try to get me drunk and take me back home. No, that's literally what I said in the video. But this is what I mean by that. I think that coffee and walks are just the lowest effort date you can possibly imagine. And I didn't realize that people nowadays are dating mostly, they're meeting people online. As I said, I lived in New York and now I live in Miami. I always like go out a lot and I meet people. So online dating for me was just like, okay, maybe sometimes, but I see like Gen Z, that's like their vibe. So a lot of people were reacting really negatively because they were saying, why would I spend 2 hours with a stranger? But then I'm like, why would you go out with a stranger without doing some vetting? Like, my time is so valuable, and I would rather even stay home and read a book or, I don't know, watch my favorite TV show than going on a random date with a random dude because he thinks you're cute. And the only reason he's taking you on this low effort coffee walk date is because he wants to see if you're hot enough. I'm sorry. I talked to so many men about this video, and they just want to do like a little quick check to see if you're worthy of a dinner. But what I say is that even if you don't want to do like a dinner date, I understand that everybody's comfortable with that. Why don't you do a few like FaceTime calls or just check out the vibes? Don't leave the comfort of your beautiful home to meet up with a random dude for a coffee date. I just don't think that's sexy. I don't think it's appropriate. I think that because these guys are like serial daters. They have like a date from 1 o'clock, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they drink coffee. I mean, hopefully they drink some tea in the meantime because it's a lot of caffeine. I mean, tea has caffeine too, but you know, that's what they are doing nowadays. But if somebody really wants to go on a date with you, they're going to suggest something a little bit better. This is what I always say. Like if they have a chance to go on a date with Megan Fox, do you think they're going to take her on a coffee walk date? No, they're going to do something amazing. So why don't you think that you are worthy of a Megan Fox dinner?
Slay. I love that response. And I just love I love that you're a diva about it. And I want more women to be comfortable being a diva about it. I think that's where we struggle. It's like, oh, we want to be humble and we want to be this. But it's like, men aren't humble. They aren't humble with it at all.
I don't understand why. I think that's when I started posting dating content, I didn't even realize how many women struggle with confidence and asking what they want and what they deserve. But then also I was dating somebody back then in my 20s. And I was getting what I think I wanted at that time, but I wasn't getting the emotional support and all that. So that's something that I'm also helping women to kind of understand which things are okay in a relationship, because not everything is going to be perfect. Every relationship is going to have some kind of flaws. Mm-hmm. And when I was going through my dramatic breakup, I was going through a lot of therapy, and I was trying to understand why was I accepting certain things. And then that brought all the way to my childhood. And you know how like you starts unraveling. But yeah, I forgot what you asked me. I went on a little tangent here.
Well, no, I mean, that's all part of the convo. But I think I also wanted to make a note about something. I think what women really struggle with, or the reason why women struggle to implement this perspective that you're talking about like, no, I'm not going to leave the comfort of my own home to go meet up with you and I don't even know, you know. I feel like it's because of the relationship with the desire itself, like the relationship with wanting a man or like wanting a relationship. When it becomes obsessive and you put it on a pedestal, you immediately lower your standards and you're willing to accommodate things that don't actually represent what you're worthy of. I think that's why it's always starts like as a manifestation coach, when I have somebody that comes to me wanting to manifest a relationship, the very first thing we're working on is your relationship with the desire itself to be in a relationship. Because if you want it so bad, you are going to be so much more willing to accept mediocrity versus if you're like, I'm good with or without it, it'll come when it's time. Then you can do things like, yeah, I'm not willing to step out of my house for this. Actually, it's not worth it for me. You have to show me that you're willing to invest more first. And something else that came up as you were explaining is men, like the way men operate, their willingness to invest in you is directly proportionate to their interest in you. And if they're not willing to, like if you're talking about serial daters are guys that don't want to put any investment in any woman until they have like vetted her out for things like, is she hot enough? Or is she, you know, very superficial things. So it's like, I think it says a lot about a man who is willing to take you out to dinner first, because he sees that you are, from what he's seen so far, that you're worth the investment and he wants to get to know you, versus somebody who's not willing to invest on the get-go. Like that's going to be pretty indicative of how you're going to be treated throughout the relationship. Because if 100%. At the forefront, he wasn't even willing to invest in a freaking dinner date, which really, like, is that really that expensive? No. Like, let's be honest, if it's the right guy, it's not. But I wanted to ask you, I love how you explained like, yeah, I would rather just like chill out at home. I'm not leaving my safe space for that. I know that a lot of women, I think, struggle with the ability to embody that energy because they're like, but I really want to go on the date. Like, I really want to get to know him. So my question for you, my question to you is, how do you be comfortable with that level of solitude and that level of like, yeah, I don't really need it.
I think it comes after starting to like work on yourself a little bit, and you see that there's so many things you can do, mm-hmm. so many things you can learn, and you just are working on yourself instead of working on finding this like perfect someone that's going to compliment you because you have this missing piece and all this like bullshit we've been fed throughout our whole lives. Mm-hmm. And I understand also when you're approaching 30, it's more scary to be alone because all of your friends are, you know, with somebody. Maybe they're marrying their high school sweetheart and you're like single. So that's why you're going on these random dates, because a lot of, I'm not a dating coach, but I think I've been talking to so many women for the past 2-3 years that I know a lot. I'm not a dating coach, but I do know that as you're approaching 30, you just have this immense pressure. Maybe it's from your family. Maybe it's from your, you know, you just feel like you're a loser if you're not in a relationship. But this is what I also say, like, okay, so let's say you have Mary that went to your college and she's marrying Doug. Do you like Doug? Like, would you want to be with a guy like Doug? And this is not to put down Mary and Doug. I don't even have any people in my life that is called Mary and Doug. This is not to put them down. It's just like, yeah. Is this the type of person you would be with? And then you start to think like, okay, well, this friend is married to this guy. She's dating this guy, but I would never even look at these guys like in a romantic way. Mm-hmm. So what are you even jealous of? Just the fact that you're not there yet? Because we all are constantly told as women that we are going to be more, that the only way we can level up is if we marry up. But that's such an archaic way of thinking.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of pressures nowadays.
So much pressure, especially in like, you know, I'm ethnically Arab. So I know within the Arab community, it's like, if you're not married or engaged by like 25, you're basically expired goods. And people will literally harass you and be like, so when are you going to get married? Oh, do you have that special someone yet? And it's like, so I feel like it's just so backwards in this day and age to be thinking that way. I also wanted to make a note. As you were talking, this was coming up for me, and it's that like when you're wanting, like get to the root of what it is that you want, right? Like obviously, like you said, you see other people in relationships, but if it's not somebody that you would actually want to be with, ask yourself, what is the kind of relationship that would actually speak to my soul and actually make me feel loved and make me feel not whole, because that implies that mm-hmm. somebody else can make you whole, but like, what is the kind of relationship that you want? And it's like, sometimes the reason why that relationship doesn't come in at the time that you're asking for it is because there's healing that you need to do first in order to become a vibrational match to that type of relationship, mm-hmm. right? Like you attract what you are, you attract how you're showing up in that moment. And if you're struggling with like low self-worth and low confidence, you will attract a partner that mirrors that back to you. So you mm-hmm. want a guy that treats you really well. You want a guy that, you know, makes you feel really confident, really whole, very like loved, but you can't do that until you achieve that for yourself first, where you love yourself, you see yourself in that same light, and then you can invite somebody into your reality that mirrors that for you. So this is just such a good conversation. I'm so glad we're having it.
I'll just say something. When I was, so I had this long relationship in my 20s, then I was mm-hmm. going through my single phase, and I was, my confidence, my self-esteem, like it was on the ground, and I was dating these random guys, and I'm in a very healthy, happy relationship now. And I met him pretty much as soon as I moved to Miami, which was so funny because I was about to live my best single life. But that's how life happens, you know, when you don't expect it, when you don't want it. I mean, not that I didn't want it, but anyway, going back to when I was single, I was dating all these random losers, and they were treating me horribly, but it was like, why are you allowing that? If you are dating somebody, maybe you have a situationship and he's hitting you up at 2 a.m. and you're replying, why the fuck are you replying? Like, why are you letting this behavior, like you're letting it become okay that he can hit you up at 2 o'clock and you're gonna be like, I'm home, or you're just gonna come over. And I've did a lot of those stupid decisions, but because I was so low, I didn't love myself, I didn't appreciate myself, so that's why that type of behavior was okay to me. And when girls are dating, you know, sometimes girls write to me and they're like, oh, I'm attracting these loser guys and I can't find anybody serious, I'm desperate. I'm like, that's the issue. because mm-hmm. you are exactly as you said, like you attract what you are. Mm-hmm. And if you do see a pattern, like you can't find anybody that's a normal human being, then it's you. Like you're the problem.
Literally.
Not like the problem, but like you got to work on yourself. You can't just blame circumstances. And like I even have girls that write to me and they're like, do you suggest that I move to a new city to meet a new guy? I'm like, absolutely not. But you know, you do you, but you can't just blame everything else for the way your life is.
100%. And this is something I'm also talking about all the time too, is like there's a lot of power in asking yourself, what is the role I am playing in the current problem at hand? And if it is, like you said, the only common thread, when you think about all the losers that you've attracted in your life, the only common thread is you. It's not about where you live. You could relocate. You could move the geographical location of where you're finding these men. But at the end of the day, who you are
going to find the same type.
Okay, you're going to find the same exact type. He's just going to be based out of a different location. So it really does start with you and asking yourself, what role am I playing in this particular situation? And how can I raise my self-worth to attract guys that are actually who I want to be with and reflect my high self-worth back to me? So how would you recommend that, like somebody who's listening to this, maybe they're thinking, oh my gosh, this is so me. I definitely need to raise my standards. I definitely need to raise my self-worth. How would someone go about doing that?
Excellent question. I think that you need to start. I have a friend whose podcast is called Date Yourself Instead.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And you actually have to do that. Like you have to start doing everything that you, so when I was going through my stuff, mm-hmm. my therapist asked me, okay, what do you miss about him? And I said, well, I miss when we were going to get sushi. I miss when we were going to the movies. And she's like, you would just miss the experience. You don't miss the person, because if a person is treating you horribly, you wouldn't miss that kind of treatment. You just miss to have somebody that you can just go to the movies with. Mm-hmm. So why don't you start doing those things? Okay, if you don't feel comfortable going on your own to the movies, I get it. But like, why not? Why wouldn't you go on a solo trip? Why wouldn't you take yourself out to dinner? Like you're going to start enjoying your company so much more. I think you need to just start treating yourself. And I know like if you're on the bottom of the barrel right now and you're like so sad, it just sounds impossible that treating yourself right is going to make you feel better. But it actually will. And something that my therapist also told me at that time is like, if you're, because I had a phase when I literally could not smile, like my face could not smile. Mm-hmm. I was just so, so sad. And she said, okay, I'm giving you a mission that you have to dance around the apartment and you have to smile, like fake smile, because mm-hmm. your body doesn't know the difference. And I was like, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. But then I was like, okay, what is there to lose? Like, I'll just do that. And then obviously mm-hmm. I became so much more happy. And you have to treat yourself with respect. You have to do things that, you know, make you happy, whether that's getting your hair done, your nails done, go through your closet, throw out old items, just like do a little refresh and start working on yourself. Like, do you have a hobby? Start being disciplined about it. I don't know, take on pottery, do something fun, like just live life for yourself. Try to figure out who you are, because if you were going through some kind of relationship and your heart is broken, a big part of your identity was that relationship. So you feel like you lost a big piece of yourself, and you mm-hmm. did, like you had a best friend and you were with somebody for so long, but you know, it's a new era for you right now. So like step into that era, and it's okay if you're going to be sad certain days, because we all get days when we're sad, mm-hmm. no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. But you have to be very disciplined about loving yourself, because it's not going to fall into your lap.
So, so true. And also, like, when you're thinking about, so you were talking about how when you miss your ex, or like you miss somebody that you were with and it's like, oh, I wish I had those things. I think it's also about, what is it that you are looking to get out of a relationship? Like when you think about, oh my God, my dream guy, or like the perfect guy and all these amazing things he does for me. Maybe he gets you flowers every week just because. Maybe he gets you gifts. Like you can do that for yourself at any point in time and still fill a void, right? Like it doesn't have to come from a guy for you to experience that love.
Sorry, let me just add here. If you have a friend that's also struggling, Why don't you two like start buying each other flowers? Yeah. Just do cute things for each other, and it's going to be a cute little thing that you guys do. And exactly, you're going to fill that void.
100%. And it's like, that's something else that I was going to mention as well. It's so funny that you brought that up. Like, love is everywhere. Love is not just romantic. There are pockets of love in so many different places in your life. And there, I mean, personally, at this point in my life, I'll tell you guys, I'm what, like 24, and I've experienced romantic relationships in the past, and none of them have been like super fulfilling. But I will say that I have found so much more love in my relationships with my friends than I ever have in my relationships with men, if I'm being so honest. And I think that's something to be celebrated, right? Like, look at all of the, and if you're somebody who struggles, maybe like you don't have a lot of really good friendships, and you're wanting a romantic relationship, I think it's worth it to switch gears and maybe focus on attracting more aligned friendships, because there's nothing more fulfilling and satisfying and full of love and light than a relationship with a fellow woman who is a girl's girl and loves you in the same way. So it's like, I just think that's a very healing factor as well, is that when you have people, women around you that celebrate you and love you and nurture you, and you do the same for them, like, oh my God, there is something so magical about that. I just want everyone to experience it.
And I'll tell you now what some people who are struggling are going to say: well, I don't have any like-minded friends. I can't find new friends. And they're going to find a million excuses why they can't level up their surroundings. But I'm going to tell you, you just have to envision that ideal version of you. Like, what does she do? If she works out 2-3 times a week, why don't you pick out a workout class and meet people there? I know it's going to be a little bit weird to like a pro. Actually, it's not weird for me, but I feel like I always have to give these disclaimers because not everybody's like outgoing. Mm-hmm. But just tell a girl that you love her leggings and just say, I'm new to the city, or I would love to have a smoothie with you. Can I buy you a smoothie? And just start like making friends like that. Go to networking events. If you are an entrepreneur, if you're like, this evening I'm going to an entrepreneur mingling events, because I just want to be surrounded with women that are doing amazing things in their life. And then later, when you are going to build your business or you're going to do something, you're going to have a group of women you can at least talk to. Maybe some of them can be your mentor. Maybe you can do something with them. There's so many ways that you can expand your circle. You just have to
be open.
You can't be shy.
That's a really, really, I think especially for like my generation, like Gen Z, we're so used to doing everything online, meeting people, like everything is just online. So I think it is also really important that you're putting yourself physically in the position to be able to meet like-minded people. But I think, so when you're saying how there's people going to be listening who are listening to this and they're going to be like, oh, well, I just don't have any like-minded friends. I think part of that also has to do with self-concept, because if you are not secure within yourself, you cannot have a secure relationship with anybody, especially not another woman. And those insecurities are going to be magnified in your relationships with other women. And it's like, if you haven't done the work to really love yourself and feel confident in who you are and how you're showing up, that's going to leak into who you're attracting in your friendships as well. Like, I'm sure everybody listening to this has had a vile relation or a vile experience with, you know, another woman. And it's like, what is your experience with that? Like, have you ever had any toxic friends or like mean friends or anything like that?
Oh God. This came at a perfect time because currently there's a TikTok trend going on about Roman Empire.
Oh my God. Yes.
And I've seen a few girls share that their Roman Empire is their ex-best friend, which I also shared. And definitely, so for those who don't understand, the Roman Empire is just something that you think pretty often and you don't really have a reason why you're thinking about that. So I do think often about, like, I had a few friends when I moved to the US and now we're not friends anymore. So I've been here for like, what, 10 years. And there's this one girl that kind of really like is still hurting me somehow, like, because nothing really happened. She just started to be, I mean, she wasn't great, but I definitely had a lot of fake friends, a lot of people that maybe they were not even fake. They just didn't align with what they want and what their values are. And I can't be friends with people who are not striving for growth. I can't, you know, even if you don't have to be an entrepreneur, you don't have to have your own business, you don't have to like, you don't have to be the same type of person as me. But if you're, let's say if you're a stay at home, I have a lot of friends who are just like, you know, they're stay at home moms, they're raising their families, but they're like making their space beautiful. They're doing amazing things with their kids, like they're mm-hmm. growing that aspect of their life. But I can't be friends with people that are just stagnant, that are mm-hmm. doing the same things they're doing last year or the year before. And I mean, also in the social media world, it's kind of difficult to find like super close friends because you don't really know if people have the right intention or they're just like mm-hmm. using you for collabs or something, or like to go to events with you, which happened to me as well. I think I had like three, I'm not going to say failed friendships, but like three girls throughout my life that I like got burned in multiple, like one of them was using me for this, the other one just like remained stagnant, and the third one just like lost her mind. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had a lot of friendship drama throughout my life.
I mean, I think everyone has had their fair share of that. And I think it's all a really good learning experience to understand who you, the kind of woman that you don't want in your life, because I think that's just as important.
And I just want to say here, sometimes people, yeah. if they're friends with somebody for a really long time, they think they have to maintain that friendship because of the history. Mm. And you absolutely don't have to do that. And mm-hmm. when you were on my podcast, when we were talking about, just like I just realized that one of the girls that I was friends with when I was really young mm-hmm. gave me so much trauma. And I actually talked mm-hmm. to my mom about this the other day. She's like, yeah, she really screwed you over. Like she really, because I was like, I don't know, 8 years old. And I remember when you and I were speaking, I was like, wow, revelations. I just realized that like she is the cause of my, like a few traumas that I have in my life.
Yeah. And like, those relationships can really affect you. Like those experiences with those kinds of people can really affect you. And I agree that it's okay to outgrow a friendship, even if you guys have been friends your whole lives. Like people grow in different directions all the time. And it's okay to let go of a relationship that's not serving you anymore. Like I've had a similar experience as well, where somebody I've been friends with since high school, like we have just slowly but surely become very different people. And it's, there comes a point where it's like, what is this relationship doing for me anymore? Like, what is this friendship? How is it actually serving me? And back to what you were talking about, the people you choose to be your closest friends, that is a very, very big role, because you, like, there's a statistic and it's like, you become the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. Like that's mm-hmm. a fact. And it's like people that you're really close friends with, their energy, their influence is around you, and you will slowly start to become that. And if it's not, if that person does not have habits that you admire, that you want to emulate, it's worth asking, like, do I really want to be friends with this person? Because like you're talking about with the ambition, I'm the exact same way. Like I can't be friends with somebody who is not ambitious and wants more for themselves, because that's part of me. And it's like, if I'm friends with you and I'm always wanting to be on the come up, but you're comfortable with where you are, like we can't grow together. It's just not possible. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to stay where you are, and then I'm going to keep going in a certain direction.
And you're not going to understand each other after a while.
There's no common ground.
All right, what do you think about relationship breakups? Do you think that they're needed, or you can just like drift away?
No, I think they're like, are you saying, does it need to be a formal end to the friendship?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. What do you think?
I think there are contexts where that is really important, where like if there is a conflict that started it and then you've had a change of heart, I think it's important to be like, okay, listen, we were friends, but I don't feel comfortable with this anymore. And I just feel like we should go our separate ways. But if it's something where it's like mutually, you guys kind of both just fell off and nothing instigated it, there was no conflict. Like sometimes there mm-hmm. is a mutual understanding that it's like, yeah, we're just not really vibing anymore and no hard feelings. We don't have to talk about it. Like, I'm not going to be like, by the way, I don't want to be your friend anymore. Like, I just feel like that's not always necessary. But when there is conflict and there's a change of heart and now things are going in a different direction than they were, that's where I think an official breakup is necessary. And those conversations can be tough. They can be so
I absolutely agree. I think I had like one friendship breakup, like an official one. And that mm-hmm. was with this girl that I was actually living with. We were really good friends before we moved in mm-hmm. together. And then while we were living together, she just, I mean, I'm sure she has her version. I have my version, but that was like when we like moved out, it was like, okay, we're not going to be friends anymore.
Like it's like a mutual understanding. Like you both know to some level with the way things have transpired.
Yeah. Not you vibes. Can feel the energy. You can feel it.
Definitely. It's so palpable. And I also wanted to mention something else. Like you were talking about the, you can't really be friends with people who aren't ambitious. I think a really big red flag for me as I've gotten older that I've realized is something I need to make sure I stay away from is women who love to gossip and who only Oof. Know how to talk Oof. About people in a really negative way. And it's almost like they become addicted to it. It becomes addictive mm-hmm. of like, did you see this girl and what she was wearing and what she was doing? And I'm like, I have no interest in this. This doesn't benefit me at all. It doesn't help me at all. And it's like,
music to my ears.
Literally, it just doesn't like, and that's where the insecurity piece comes in, is you can tell how secure a woman is in herself in the way that she talks about women that she admires or women that like she comes across. I think anytime you see someone that's really going out of their way to tear people down, red flag, like the way that they are talking about that person, they will likely talk about you in the same way behind your back. And that's the other thing as well. Yeah. What were you gonna say?
When I said music to my ears, I didn't mean gossip is music to my ears. What you were saying was music to my ears. I just posted a TikTok or a reel about this, seven things I wish I knew about friendships when I was in my 20s. And one of them was, if they are sharing other people's secrets, they're definitely sharing your secrets as well. So you always have to see, like, exactly what you said, the way they talk about other people, especially if they're close friends, that's the same way they talk about you. And I know that's really tough to understand sometimes, but honestly, I had a friend recently, we didn't, like, nothing really happened between us, but I mean, I kind of just like stopped being so open towards her because I saw that she was sharing some deepest secrets from her friends to me that she knew, I don't know, for years. And we just knew each other, I don't know, 2 years. So I was just like, maybe I shouldn't really be so open with you anymore.
That is just so, I just can't understand how somebody doesn't clock that in themselves. Like, maybe I shouldn't do this and say this because it's going to make me look shady.
I think that they share stuff like this sometimes because they think
that's how you bond.
Yeah. They think like, oh, I'll share this secret information with her, so she's going to see how important she is to me. But then she does that with everyone. And then it ends up like, you know things about people that you shouldn't really know.
Because it's personal and it was told to you in confidence under the impression that you wouldn't tell anybody else.
Yeah, I don't want to be friends with people that I have to say like, oh, this is between us. Like everything we talk about is between us, like unless we're recording a podcast.
Yeah, literally. It's just insane to me. But I think this is reminding me of a story actually. In college, I met this girl that was not usually somebody that I would be friends with, but I met her. We clicked, you know, things went really well. And she had her own group of friends as well. And so in her group of friends, there was this girl that she knew and her boyfriend. And this friend of mine, again, I don't want to name names, but like she ended up sleeping with that guy, even though she was friends with his girlfriend, like she knew his girlfriend on a personal basis. And like, as soon as I found out that she did that, something, I don't know what, like something in me flipped and I was like, ooh, I just got the ick and it's so bad. I don't know how I'm going to recover from this. And I noticed myself, you know how we were talking about, does there need to be a formal breakup? This is one of those things where I should have been more outward about it and I wasn't. I kind of just like, I didn't ghost officially, but I took a step back and I was like, don't really want to like hang out with you. Don't want to talk to you as much. And she felt that energy for me that I was withdrawing. And so eventually she like, straight up asked me. She was like, she was like, I've noticed that you pulled away. Like, what's going on? And at first I was like, you know what? I didn't want to feel like I was being judgmental. That was my issue with it. Like, I don't want to judge somebody, you know, for doing something that I wouldn't necessarily do, but that's just like not really fair. But then when she brought it up to me, I was like, you know what? I need to just own this and I need to be so honest. And I told her, I was like, listen, I think it's very fucked up that you slept with a guy and you know his girlfriend and you were friends with his girlfriend. If you look, you've looked her in the eye and had conversations with her knowing what you had done behind her back and you don't think that it's an issue. And I can't vibe with that. Like that clashes with my value system of integrity. Like I would never do that to another woman. And I don't know how to be friends with a woman who would do that to another woman. Okay, like if you're doing that to a woman you don't even know, what would you do to me as your friend? Now I can't trust you about my boyfriend.
This is wild.
This is what she said, which was like really insane to me. She's like, you know what? I don't need this from you. I have my close friends who actually care about me and are going to help me work through this. And I was like, girl, all the power to you. Go do what you need to do. I know you guys are all amazing, but I just can't vibe with that because like, think about it. How are you ever going to trust? How am I ever going to trust you? If you've done that again to a woman you don't even know, what would you do to me? You think I want to be friends with somebody where I'm like, oh my God, my man can't be around her. We got to stay. What kind of friendship is that? Like, that just doesn't make sense. So like, I think that's another thing is make sure that you're evaluating your own, what is your value system? What are the things that are important to you that it's like, this needs to be in somebody that I'm really good friends with too. Like when you're manifesting a friendship, like aligned friendships, this is what I always say. Like what, like the person that you see yourself being really close with, what are their values? What do they like to do in their free time? Who are they as people? How do they make you feel? What do you guys do together? Like these are all things that are really important to think about when you're thinking about inviting new friendships into your life. And that is just,
I love this saying, some people come into your life for a season, for a reason, or for a lifetime, something like that. And sometimes you have people in your life that are just going to teach you a lesson
and then go
and go. And, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, but I wish they stuck around, but no, they don't have to because they're not really going to contribute anything into your life later. And I also want to say when I was going through this, I think I had this like crazy phase after I broke up with this guy and then I was single and I was just like hanging out with stupid people, not stupid. I don't want to call anybody stupid, but I was hanging out with people that I didn't align with their, like looking back now, like I don't align with what you guys are doing with your day-to-day life, with your routines, with your, the way, like I just, but I was there in that circle at that time because I was lower. Because I didn't, you know, like today you're saying, oh, if she like you cut this girl off because she slept with somebody, whatever. But like maybe when you were in high school, you didn't really care. Maybe you thought it was like even kind of cool how she can get her guy. Because I remember when I was in my, I don't know, when I was 18, I remember I was like hooking up with this guy. And then I found out that he has a girlfriend. And obviously we stopped hooking up, but I was like, it's kind of cool. Like he wanted me more than her, but I was like, because people were, it was, I don't know. It was just a fucked up set of values in that time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So like,
you can change your friends off as you grow, you're going to change evolve. Your group. Yeah.
Yeah. And as like, exactly like you're saying, at a certain point in your life in the past, you were a different person. You were not the same person you are now. So vibrationally, of course, you're going to attract different people into your reality as your friends and your companions. But then as you grow and as you evolve, you change your vibrational frequency. Those things are not going to align anymore. And that's what happens. This is like when I'm working with a client, it's like they start to realize that certain things are shedding out of their life. And it's because you're becoming a different person. You cannot sustain this energetically anymore because there's this discrepancy. And that's okay. And it's like the more you lean into that, the more you give yourself permission to grow, right? Like who wants to stay friends with people that don't align anymore and then have to keep that space in your life? What does that do for you? It literally does nothing. And I think like, this is also one of those things. I feel like people who have people pleasing tendencies, they're like, I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to be a jerk about it. You know, like we can be different people and still be friends, but it's like, you can not like somebody or like not, you cannot want someone to be in your life, but also not have hate for them. Like you were saying, like no beef, like no bad vibes. I think the quote that I'm thinking of is, I still want to see you eat, just not at my table. Like, so just stay the fuck away from
me. I love
like,
that. I never heard that.
Wish you well, wish you all the best, but that doesn't have to be near me. And something else when you were talking about the, like some people come into your life for a season or a chapter, like not for the whole thing. That made me think about soul contracts. But I think we also may have talked about when we were on your podcast filming that episode.
Yeah, but let's talk about it again.
Let's bring it up because this is one of my favorite things. I think bringing a spirituality, an element of spirituality into it just helps everything click so much more. And so when what soul contracts are, it's like before you were born in this lifetime, your soul knew exactly the circumstances that you would be born into. And it knew all of the people that you would come across in your life and meet and have a relationship with, down to the people that you meet in the grocery store, the cashier, all of that stuff is set in stone beforehand. And it's like you, with the soul contract piece, you and other souls have agreed to meet up in this lifetime to fulfill some kind of karma or some kind of like experience together. And so that's where it's important to recognize sometimes this, like when the soul contract starts, sometimes there's an expiration date. Sometimes there's a point in time where it's like, we have agreed that now it's time to part ways. And the issues happen when you resist that the soul contract has expired. It's gone. Now you're holding on to something that is literally not good for you. And you're creating your own trauma out of it because you can't let go and you're so attached and you will, like in your mind, you wanted this person to be in your life forever. Like all the relationships. I don't know if you've ever had a relationship where you thought you were going to marry him. Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And it's so painful when that ends because you're like, well, I thought we were supposed to be together forever. But it's like, this is where you have to really practice the art of detachment. And the second something removes itself from you or things stop making sense, assume that it's for the best. Because if it was meant to stay and if they were meant to be there in your life, they would still be there. And it would all still be fine and dandy.
There's this saying also, I love how we're just sharing our quotes and sayings. I know. There's this saying, if somebody's continuously hurting you, mm-hmm. I'm going to butcher the saying now, but it's like something about like, if somebody's continuously hurting you, it's the universe trying to tell you that it's time to let go. Mm-hmm. And whenever you're going to be like, when you're ready to open your eyes, then you're going to be able to let go. The saying was totally butchered right now, but they're going to hurt you continuously mm-hmm. until you're strong enough to let go.
And this is where your free will comes into play, right? Like, you have the ability to walk away from something. You don't have to stick around if it's not serving you.
And I have another saying for you. If you don't like something, you can move. You're not a tree.
Yeah.
Like, you're not a tree.
Literally, you are not a tree. You have the free will to move your legs, get up and get out of the situation. And obviously, I want to be mindful, like, for things like domestic violence and like that. That's not what we're talking about here at all. That's not in the same caliber at all. This is more one of those things where it's like a relationship that is just not really aligned anymore, or it's gone sour and it's just not really what it used to be. Like, it's okay to cut that off. Because also when you're cutting it off, like, this is how I always think about it. Everything that you have in your life right now is taking up some kind of space. Your habits take up space. Your relationships take up space. Your behaviors, everything that you're doing, that all takes up space. And when you have a relationship that is hurting you or harming you and it's not good for you anymore, it's taking the space of something else that could be coming in that actually is serving you. And it's like, mm-hmm. when you think about it in that way, you feel more empowered to cut it off, because it's not just about cutting it off. It's about making space for the things that are actually aligned for you. And if you can if you can create that space and allow it to come in, that's how you keep evolving and allowing things to happen in your highest good. So.
Also with friendships, not just with like romantic, if you are hanging out with that girl who's just talking shit about other people and commenting negatively, if you're meeting her once a week, like that 1 hour or 2 hours you spent together, you could have, you know, learned something new from somebody else. Like, you could have listened to a podcast and you could mm-hmm. like expand your mind, but mm-hmm. you decided to spend that hour with her and now you're just coming. Like, also a big thing for me is, how do I feel after the meetup?
Yes.
Honestly, after you and I recorded my podcast, mm-hmm. because we talked about so many things, I was like, this was so weird that like I'm so inspired after like a conversation, but because it's like we came in with a good intention and we were like just open and we were like sharing so many amazing things. But if you and I were just like talking shit about people, like after the conversation, I would feel like, ugh, this was difficult. This was tough. Yeah.
And that's, it's so funny. We're definitely on the same wavelength, because I was literally going to bring up intuition with all of this, of like your higher self is always going to tell you when someone, not just something, but someone is not aligned for you. And you'll know from the way that you feel after or during the interaction. Like, mm-hmm. you know how sometimes you're talking to somebody and you get this like sinking feeling in your stomach that something is just off, like something mm-hmm. is just not right about them or about the dynamic. Like, follow those signals, follow that gut feeling, because it's trying to tell you something, that this person is not aligned. Versus when you walk away feeling higher vibrational and expansive and inspired and light, like that means something too. So it's like, you always, if you're somebody who gets caught up in like the logic of like, well, technically they didn't really do anything to bother me, or technically like on paper, I don't have anything to fault them for, but you don't need something on paper, babe.
Yeah. Vibes are enough. Mm-hmm. I find myself sometimes like justifying somebody and I'm like, well, she didn't really mean it. Like, maybe she wanted to say it in this way, but I'm like, ugh, if you feel the same type of ick multiple times after hanging out with the same person, like somebody's mm-hmm. trying to tell you something, your gut, your intuition, like, you know, you should tune in.
You should follow it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So important. I think for like everyone to be hearing this, because again, we don't want to feel like you're hurting somebody or you're being unfair or you're like judging somebody. But the way that I like to like work through that in my mind, whenever it's something like, okay, am I being objective enough or am I being kind of like a jerk about it? It's like, ask yourself, what are the facts? Like, what are mm-hmm. the facts of the situation that nobody can argue, because it's literally the tangible reality that took place. If she took a jab at you, or she regularly takes jabs at you, makes you feel like shit about yourself, that's a fact. And now you can respond to the fact, rather than the other thing is like reacting to the emotional like, you know, when you get really emotionally charged about it, that's different. But when you can like sit with yourself and be calm and review the facts, if you don't like the facts, do something about it. That at that point, it's like, this is justified because I'm responding to a fact. I'm not reacting to an emotion that's just temporary and fleeting in the moment.
I have this girl. She's like a friend, kind of downgraded to an acquaintance, but yeah, like we were close at some point. And we didn't have any like conversations or anything, like everything's fine, kind of. But every time I would hang out with her, she would tell me how amazing everybody's doing. Like how amazing, like if I would share something about, you know, my podcast, my business, like if anything I would share, she would, you know, listen for a few minutes. And then she would be like, oh, did you see that, I don't know, XYZ is like, she just bought a house or she did this. Like she would always kind of glorify what other people were doing, but like not putting them down. I can't really explain.
Did she celebrate this you?
Yes, but I don't like, you know, even if I even now I'm like, ugh, something was kind of weird. Like if I would tell her, I don't know, I got an A, even though I'm just trying to give like a simple example. If I said like I got an A, she'd be like, oh my God, amazing. I heard that Jessica got an A+. You know, it was like,
that's really interesting.
Yeah. Like she would celebrate me, but then she would also always tell me, yes.
Yeah.
Like her friends. And then I was just like, let's go. It's like a backhanded compliment, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so odd. This is what I'm saying. Sometimes like you meet women and they do certain things and it's like, it just leaves you so puzzled. Like, why do that? Like, what's the reason? But I think more importantly, rather than like toying around with it in your mind, it's like, what's the feeling? What's the vibe that you're getting? If something feels weird about it, if it's giving you the ick, that's for a reason. It's because the intention usually is coming from an icky place. I want to thank you, first of all, for coming onto the podcast today and sharing all of your wisdom.
I had so much fun.
Yes, you and me both. I always love our conversations. But before we actually wrap up, what I do for listeners at the end of every episode is we give them a limitless challenge of the week to integrate what they have learned in that episode. So I want to ask you, open the floor for you. What do you think the limitless challenge of the week should be for listeners of this episode?
Oh, the limitless challenge of this week is going to be that you and all of us, you, me, Nadia, all of us, we're going to journal. We are going to write down what we are looking for in our ideal partner, in our ideal friend, in, I don't know, who else we can have in our life or career. Just like write it down and reflect. And I'm sure Nadia can give a few questions that you can ask yourself while you're journaling, because I love listening to guided meditations with like journaling prompts and questions. And just when you're writing things down, it's so much more powerful and it just makes it seem more real. And I love writing with an actual pen. I mean, with an actual pen, I love writing on like in my actual journal versus writing it in my phone, because I know a lot of, you know, Gen Zers especially, like it's so digital. But I feel like when you write it down, it's just more like, it's more powerful.
It activates
powerful.
A different part of your brain, actually. That's why I always tell my clients, like, do not put this in your notepad, like, or in your, like, notes, like, write it down, because you're engaging with it at a different level at that point. So that makes complete sense.
And also, like, if you want to change certain things about, you know, your life, your appearance, your apartment, I know that I was going through, like, I have a lot of products and I mean, I get a lot of PR from brands and I just like have a lot of items. And one of my goals was to become more minimal. So I am currently like organizing everything. So I'm like trying to get rid of things that are expired and I do a lot of giveaways and I just like, I'm trying to minimize distractions and minimize things that are like, cluttering my brain pretty much, because if my room is a mess, I can't function.
I totally resonate with that. I think everyone does. Like when your environment is messy, you feel like your environment is a reflection of how you're doing internally. So, but yeah, you guys heard it here. The limitless challenge of the week is whip out your journal with a pen, a real actual pen, and write down what are your values for your relationships, friendships and romantic relationships. What are the things that you know you need, non-negotiables? These are your values, the things that you know you need from these relationships. And maybe ask yourself, how does your current reality measure up to that? And if so, maybe you need to consider cutting some cords and letting go of what's not serving you.
And do an audit of your surroundings, your, maybe if you want to upgrade your wardrobe, you want to start taking care of yourself, you know, your physical appearance, write it down, like what you think you need to do to achieve that level.
So that is your guys' limitless challenge of the week. Again, Coco, thank you so much for joining us and for imparting your wisdom. If you guys want to connect with Coco, I will link her Instagram and her TikTok and her podcast as well, Bougie Best Friends. You guys can check that out. She is phenomenal. We will see you guys during next week's episode.